Welcome to Big Talk for Breeders. My name is Michael Doherty, a show-jumping breeder from the west of Ireland. And in each episode, I'll bring you a new interview with a successful sport horse breeder. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Now let's get started. This is episode number 5 with Alan Waldman of Waldman Horses. Originally from California, Alan has now lived in the Netherlands for almost 20 years. He's achieved success as a rider, a dealer, and as a breeder. I guess a lot of people, they might know you as a rider or as an agent or a dealer, first of all, but you're actually quite involved on the breeding side a lot, and it's something that not everyone might realize. But I suppose just to give an idea, roughly how many foals would you be expecting this year?
Each year we have between, it's varied in the last 15 years from 25 to 75 foals a year. This year, I think it will be closer to the 65-75, which is maybe a little bit too many. Yeah. But with the new breeding, you know, technologies with the embryos and the ICSI, and some years you're luckier with some mares give more embryos in a year or ICSIs oversights than other years. So last year we were lucky. And they're not born yet, so when I say lucky, we have pregnancies, but not foals born alive yet. But we're expecting a lot of foals for 2019.
So I'm getting nervous for you.
Yeah, me too.
But then on top of that, you'd usually probably buy a similar number. Would you then on top of what you breed, or does it?
I would like to say that there's a formula, but I wouldn't say that exactly. Yeah. Some years, there's been years where I've bought 50 foals, and there's been years where I've bought 5. So it sort of depends on my time, and I enjoy going and meeting with breeders and speaking with them and seeing what they have. And usually, outings mean purchases. So you know, it just depends sort of where we are in our show schedule and what my girlfriend's doing or what clients are coming, depending on, you know, the time of year, what if I end up buying extra foals. But I think to be able to do a good job, I think I have to start watching how many we have, because it's not the more you have, the more problems, and the thinner our attention is to things.
Okay. With your breeder hat on, or as a breeder, like, what do you think is the one thing, or what do you think are the things that you do differently to most breeders, or the way you approach it differently to most breeders?
It's a hard question. Yeah. I think most breeders do things their own way. So I don't think it's that I'm so unique in what I do. But I think that, you know, a lot of people talk about successful breeding lines or stoms. Mm-hmm. And for sure, I really believe in that, and I think that that's really helpful. But all these lines start somewhere. So I think by doing the sport and being involved in both the breeding and the riding at different levels, I think that I'm maybe exposed to some really good sport mares sometimes, and that I maybe create my own lines a little bit. And I think it's really important with breeding that you like the mother and the father, because in the end they become one of them or a real combination. So I think it's I think, like people, if I live in Europe almost 20 years, and I go home and I can't believe my friends from 20 years ago, how they look like their parents and they act like their parents. Yeah. And even if they didn't look like them 20 years ago, it really, so I think in breeding, you really must like the horses you're breeding with. And I always try to mix the pluses and the minuses. If I have a horse that's small, I try to breed with a big horse. If I have a horse that has you know, a lot of scope, and a horse that has not a lot of scope, that I try to, you know, make a combination, or careful and uncareful, or correct. I always try to match up the minuses and the pluses and use a bit common sense. But yeah, I don't breed from paper. I breed from common sense, maybe, or, you know, just adding up pluses and minuses.
The fact that you have the sports stable here, yes, you're really into lines. You're really into bloodlines. There's some you like more than you don't. But I guess it's, like you said, it's not just the paper. Having the sports stable here, it means that you can get a more complete picture of the individuals that are in front of you, rather than just looking at a nice type of a mare, maybe.
But I think it can be a plus and a minus as well, because I think everything is balance. And I think when, you know, if I like a certain pedigree or a certain stallion, maybe I buy a lot of them at one time, and then you always find the hole in it as well. So, you know, it can work for you and it can work against you, in the sense that I've been very positive about certain stallions at some points, and then after a while I'm not that positive. So and nothing's perfect. So you always have to find the balance in everything.
In terms of your motivation, I guess you've bred, you've bought, and you've sold like a lot of horses over the years and ridden a lot of horses. What motivates you to keep doing what you're doing?
Well, I love animals, and I love the horses. So that, I would say, I think what makes me a bit different maybe from other people is that I love every aspect of the horses. It's not just riding, or not just the sport, or not just teaching. I enjoy it all. So, I'm not very competitive, but I like, I always like to do well, in the sense of achieve my personal best, or work with people that achieve their personal best, or bring out the best in the horses that we train. So, or if we're going to breed, that we breed really well, you know, it's not competitive with somebody else, but it's to do a good job. So I really, that's really important, that I always have a good feeling about what I'm doing.
Okay, yeah, it's a competition with yourself more than with
the next person. I want to do things well.
And again, more than having passed a lot of horses through your hands, you've also encountered a lot of people. Is there any person or any people that have stood out as the most inspiring in your time in horses, or that have had a great influence on you?
That's a really hard question, because I think one unique thing about this sport is you meet so many different people. I mean, I've definitely had people, as far as you know, in the sport, that have really, you know, gave me chances and mentored me. And you know, from the beginning, I had you know, Jimmy Williams and Susie Hutchison. They really took me under their wing and really helped me with my riding when I was a junior rider. Mark Laskin, he's now the Chef de Keep of Canada. You know, he really gave me chances. When I came over, you know, to Europe, you know, I worked a lot with Egbert Schepp at the beginning, and I've worked a lot with Mario Aversa. And, you know, both these guys have really helped, you know, me develop my business, and we've worked together well. So there's so many different people I respect for different reasons, but you know, I think it's always the people who make a difference, and who really help you out. So I've been lucky that way from the beginning. I have a really great family unit. My parents have always been there for me, and they always are. And my girlfriend is really supportive. And yeah, so I think in that regard, I'm very lucky.
Yeah, and you've had a lot from a lot of different angles, I guess. Of all the mentors or the people that have helped you along the way, which of them do you think you're most similar to?
You keep asking hard questions. I think it depends who you've worked with the most, maybe. I mean, I would say that my basics and horsemanship would come back to, I would say, mostly with Susan Hutchison and Jimmy Williams, because my youngest years that's my foundation. So I think that would definitely be, you know, my base.
And then, of all the horses that you've been involved in, either as a breeder or as an owner, which horse do you owe the most to? Which do you think has done the most for your career in horses?
I think different horses for different reasons. I mean, I think not many people can say that they had a horse that they developed and brought along that won a gold medal individual at the Olympics. So I'd have to say Big Star. I would say, you know, Marlou was one of the first horses that I sort of rode and developed in Europe, and I think she was an amazing horse. And then she went to a good friend of mine, Kim Prince. And, you know, it's we've had a relationship for 20, 25 years of doing horse deals and helping each other, you know, that started before this horse, but this horse really, you know, it really helped my career go forward, and and also charisma for my girlfriend Danny was an amazing horse, and really special to work with, and now both Charisma and Marlou we have in breeding, so it's really nice to see the next generations.
And it brings the whole involvement almost like full circle. It's to ride them, to sell them, or to end up seeing them back in breeding as well. It's nice. Again, of all those horses, like which horse that's been through your hands or through your yard do you think has been the most naturally talented horse?
I would say Big Star, honestly. He never had a bad day. So, you know, from the first jumps, he was perfect. I mean, he was a lot of animal. He was a lot to handle. He was a great character, but he just knew what he was doing. And I'm really happy that I was part of his involvement and that we had him a long time, but I think he would have been good no matter who had him. So, I don't think I can take so much credit for that. You know, it was we didn't do anything to hurt his career, but I think he was just one of those horses that he was going to be good no matter who had him.
Had it.
Yeah, he was just natural. A phenom from the beginning.
Yeah. You've had a number of his progeny now in the stable or on the farm. Do you see many similarities between him and his progeny?
Maybe more and more, but I think he breeds a bit to his father, Quickstar, which is, you have Anglo-Arab, you have Trotter, you have...
A lot of different influences.
You have a lot of mixes, so I think you can get big, you can get small, I don't really necessarily see that he's stamping them more and more, but I do see I see that they all have a good brain, they want to work, they have blood, they jump in a good way, and they're really sport horses.
It's a great starting point.
Am I believing he'll bring great, great show jumpers if he'll bring a lot of breeders like stallions who breed uniform? And I don't know if you're going to... I don't think he has enough children to say yet, but I'm not sure. I'm not convinced yet that he's going to breed in a uniform manner. I'm convinced he'll breed a great show jumper.
Okay. What stallion have you had the most success with in terms of their offspring, either in what you've bred or what you've sold? Is there one stallion, or are there a number of stallions that have really stood out for you that kind of consistently the horses have done well for you?
Yeah. Well, Quickstar has done... I've had really a lot of great Quickstars through the years. So I would have to say... this year we had a mare called Cleopatra. She went to Laura Kraut. That's a horse we had from the beginning, from a foal. I've had a number of good Quickstars. So for me, Quickstar's always been gold. At the moment, I'm really quite enthusiastic about Staccato Gold. We have a lot of young horses from him. We bred a lot with him. And when we jump them loose, they look great. We're just starting the first ones under the saddle, but they seem to have good minds. I also like Staccato, but I find with using Staccato Gold that they're a little bit the gallop's a bit easier, and they're maybe a little bit nicer types, but similar. So of course there's really a lot of stallions to use, but at the moment I would say we used in the last year the most children would be from Staccato Gold.
What's your preferred type of mare to put them on? In your opinion, the ideal type for him, or the most suitable type?
I think he's not the biggest stallion, and he has a lot of blood. So I think also maybe he doesn't breed the most uniform. I think you need a bigger Holsteiner type mare. I think he gives blood and not always the most size, and preferably a pretty mare. I think you can get an ugly one from him, but I think you're pretty sure to get a jumper.
Yeah. Of all the stallions that are out there, are there any stallions that you feel are very underrated that should be getting either a lot more attention or support from breeders based on what they're doing or producing? Are there ones that come to mind?
Yeah, well, I always think that stallions that haven't bred the numbers, and you see a lot of good children. I think that's always a really good sign. Like if you take a stallion like Ircolando, he really bred very little, and he got all the mares that people couldn't get pregnant, and he didn't get first choice. And if you see how many good offspring there are, either from an Ir Kalondo himself or from Ir Kalondo mothers, I think that's really great. I think also if you see all of a sudden everybody's really excited about Louis Dom, but I mean, I used him already, 8 or 10 years ago, and I think that stallion also, in my opinion, seems to be a great stallion, because he didn't breed much before he went to Ireland, and when he went to Ireland, a lot of mares in Ireland, I mean, you could say better than me, but a lot of mares in Ireland is 80 to 100. It's not hundreds.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like there's been years in Holland where a stallion could get hundreds of mares. So I think he seems to be really giving a lot of good children for not that many numbers. So, I think that's also, has been in the past a very underrated stallion that's now, he's dead and he's getting, more notoriety.
Yeah, that's a good point. If there was one thing that you'd like to change about your own breeding program or your setup here, what would it be?
Well, definitely, I think breeding on a larger scale, we cut corners and we skip things that I wish we didn't do, but it just can't always be perfect. In Holland the ground is wet, so in the winter the horses are in sheds. I think a lot of times we have too many of them in sheds together. They eat through bars, which I think can give neck injuries. I mean, the ideal thing would be for horses to, live outside year round, move around, more nature. I don't know how to create that situation in the future, but that's something that I would really like to do. And I would like to breed more and more blood into our program. I think that I'm trying, we're trying to use a lot the clone of Jem Twist and look for old thoroughbred lines to add in. But, it's far removed from, a lot of these older lines have died out. So and we've gotten more and more modern horses that are good jumpers, but I think we get further. We also miss some fundamentals along the way, also in soundness and in correctness and hard horses. So I would like to try to find the balance in these things.
You're one of the few show jumping breeders that I'm aware of that's making such an effort to find or replenish the real good old key thoroughbred jumping lines. Like, it's something that doesn't seem to be, not a lot of people are focusing on it, but it's quite interesting to watch the progress of it here.
Yeah, I think what a thoroughbred does is a thoroughbred has intelligence, and I think they're smart. And if you have the right ones, they're hard as well. They're tough horses. So I think the modern sport horse breeding, as there's no natural selection anymore. We've bred out all the impurities, so we have a lot of horses that are healthy on pictures, but they're not healthy in their body. They're like bubble babies. They miss strength. So I think if there is a way, we've done a great job. I think I always say breeding a show jumper is not hard, but getting a healthy show jumper that lives till it's able to jump a Grand Prix is extremely hard. If I look each year, how many die, how many get hurt, how many just are not healthy for whatever reason, and you can't put your finger on it, the numbers are high. So I think trying to just get a healthier, harder animal is my goal, because the biggest problem we have in the sports stable and in the breeding stable is health. So I think that's really my horses that are very easy to manage, talented and healthy. That's the goal.
And it's true, because if you actually look across the industry, both from breeder or producer point of view, one of the greatest challenges is either keeping horses sound or getting horses past the vet.
Yeah.
Yet it kind of needs to be turned on its head again, because there's probably not enough emphasis on it from a breeder point of view, actually looking at who's consistently producing healthy horses.
Yeah. I mean, I think I haven't followed it, but I think there's definitely, I think, some statistical data. I think they do. I know in Holland, I don't know for other countries, but when for the newly approved stallion or the first year that stallions have children, they X-ray them, and they. I don't know if they publish that data or not. I haven't looked, but
Yeah, I think with the kid, we only give them a rating based on,
yeah.
say, OCD.
But I think there's a lot of things missed between the lines and what they call OCD and what they call chips. And I think the best way, and I think that's why some of the better lines, you see some lines that it doesn't matter how many bad stallions they've had for five generations, they're still giving good horses and they're still giving modern horses. And I think that if when you have a strong mother line, that's great, you know. And you see the health coming through, you see the jumping qualities coming through. So I think that's as well why people start with a good line. It's easier as well to have success.
Yeah, I guess with dam lines, has there been one line that stood out to you in terms of your involvement? Yeah, that's kept coming up with the goods or delivering good horses to you. Has there been one that you've been involved in here that's like really excited you?
I think the difference between me and other people is most of my mares have started as sport mares for me, and I think a lot of breeders focus on one line. And I had somebody when I was beginning that I had a sort of a talk with, and they sort of advised me to focus on, you know, one or two lines. Maybe in the future that will happen, but till, you know, when I moved here, I sort of had a line from a mare that I had done in the Young Riders with a ex-girlfriend, and that was the line of Vertina. The mother of the mare was a full sister of Vertina, so we had a lot of babies from her, and I think that line has done really well for me. That's the, you know, the that mare, the foundation mare, was that was the mother of from Bertram Allen. Dino, and we had some good mares that are have still given us some very good children that I'm very happy with. But I think I'm 45 this year, and I think I would say I've been breeding seriously for the last 10 years. So I think we have a lot of different lines. I think basically almost any line that you would search for, I have some source of some form of it. And then some lines really out of the box that nobody they people would think I was crazy or you know it's total it's not modern. So I think you need to ask me again in 10 years, and then I'll be able to answer the question better, and maybe my line I'll go more in one direction. But till now, I've just sort of focused more on using sport horse with sport horse.
I guess over the next 5 years, or even go 10 years, 5 to 10 years, like what do you hope to achieve here? Or is there a particular goal that you have in mind?
I think the world is changing rapidly as well as the horse business. So I also don't I don't I don't have an answer to that question. I know I really enjoy doing what I do every day, training the horses, working with the young horses, working with students, working with people that work here. But I think that the industry is really going in another direction. You know, through social media, dealing is changing a lot. I think breeding has changed a lot in the sense that a lot of the breeders who bred for hobby now, they want to make money from it. So the price of horses is going up high, and I think that almost everybody can do embryos and ICSI and all of these things now and just breed from the better mares. So I think it's going more in the future, it will go more in the direction of the better trainers and the better riders that can produce the horses will probably be the most successful because there'll be a lot of good horses out there. So I think you know, I'm just going to keep focusing on what I do and you know try to bring out the best in the horses and the riders, and hopefully from our own breeding or horses we develop, there'll be a lot of successful ones. That would be my goal.
Lastly, if you were to give advice to somebody starting off in their breeding career or a young breeder, yeah, what are the main pieces of advice that you would give to someone?
I think it's important that you follow your own direction, and it's always good to listen to other people. And take bits and pieces from everyone, but if you take 1% to from somebody, it's already enough. It's more than what you had before, and that you don't get stuck. If it was easy, and then everybody did the same thing, and everybody was successful. So I think you have to find your own way in it, and there's not a secret formula that anybody can give you. So it's going to come down to feeling, talent, passion, and if you follow, you know, your own nose, and you have a good feeling for it, I think it will work out.